From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. All I want for Christmas is another wild card, plus own goals and missed pens for all your key players. Today, we bring you a bumper edition with two rounds of fixtures. We look at the key Christmas moves that'll stop you being a turkey and will help you give your rivals a stuffing. Hello, Fantasy Manager. Thanks for joining us today on the eve of what is a pretty crucial 6 days in this season. Wow, got a top lineup of experts for you. A broadcaster and former player, Sam Parkins, here. Hi, Sam.
Hi, James.
Nice to see you again. Another Sam from the FPL family, Sam Bonfield.
Hey, James.
Are you all right, Sam?
I'm good, thank you.
Excellent news. And in between them, in a kind of Sam sandwich, if you like, Tom Williams, author and football journalist.
Hello, James. It's actually a Tom sandwich because I am the filling and not the bread. But it's Sam sandwich sounds better, so let's just go with that.
No, but that's...
I mean, it's our sandwich, so it's up to us, isn't it, really, what we call it?
That's true. Yeah, but a beginner's error. Sam Parkin, what an extraordinary weekend you had. 96 points.
It's been a good fortnight, James. I've been playing a bit of catch-up, so I've kind of been feasting my eyes across other people's teams and doing the opposite, pretty much. But Mo Salah, away at Bournemouth a fortnight ago, I think he'd scored four in the previous two games there. I felt he was definitely going to have... a high points return, and that's exactly how it played out. And it was a no-brainer to keep him in last week, and I don't really understand why nobody else got on that.
Right. So hang on. So you go and peek at other kind of, you do a voyeur thing with other people's teams and then just go with what they're not doing. So after here, will you go away and like just, it's kind of like bizarro world. You just do the opposite of whatever we say.
I'll kind of look to see who the majority of people are captaining.
Right.
I think Vardy's been the obvious one the last few weeks, and to make up the gap that has developed between me and Julien, I thought I had to think outside the box.
Right. Well, you're up to fifth. I mean, it's working for you. I mean, it's high risk. It's high risk, but it is working. You're up to fifth in our pundits league. Sam Bonfield, you're still second.
Yeah.
And the question is, can you catch Jules? I don't know that you can.
Please catch
James.
Jules.
Of course I can.
Can you, though?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you had a decent week, 75, but he's doing unbelievable. He's in the top 5,000 managers in the world.
Yeah, and I'm expecting some kind of fall from him at some stage. He's already played some of his chips. I've still got all of mine intact.
All your chips.
So watch this space.
Right, you've still got your first wild card, haven't you?
I do indeed.
Huh. I'm so glad that's a problem I don't have. But we'll be talking about your approach to that maybe in a short while. Tom Williams, you're doing well. We don't have to discuss your league position. We can move on.
I'm happy with my league position. So I slipped to eighth in our little podcast guests league.
Right.
But overall, I'm still climbing in the top 100,000, which was my kind of preliminary objective. 69 points last week, which is decent. So yeah, feeling quite happy about the way things are going.
By the way, was 96 your record ever, Sam?
I think it was. I had the great week when I put Pookie as captain early doors.
With that hat trick.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a couple of other players that I've kind of persisted with the last few weeks. Guaita in goal being one, Mopai as well up front. I think I've had him in for 8 weeks now and they're coming good as well. So it's kind of knitted together nicely the last fortnight.
By the way, if you'd like to join us in our FPL Pod League, the code is 6QP8QK. Very impressive results from all of you. Not quite as good, of course, as the world number one, Nick Tanner, who you may have heard. I mean, we certainly talked about Magnus Carlsen, the world chess number one, who last weekend went kind of into top spot briefly, but then Nick Tanner's reclaimed his place and is currently leading the world.
And of course, as a former player, you know, that does give you a big advantage when you play fantasy football. It's the sort of performance you expect from former players. So I'm sure it's only a matter of time before Sam...
Sam, do you find that there's any advantage to actually having kicked a football?
Slight, maybe. I don't know. I think that championship kind of knowledge that I had going into this season, I think on occasions I've kind of stolen the march on maybe a few people.
Right.
Certainly speaking to friends who went, who on earth is this Pookie guy?
Yeah.
And isn't Mopai a good player, for example?
Well,
players I've been banging the drum about for a couple of years. So having that wider knowledge, maybe, but realistically...
And that might actually, that might turn out to be an advantage when January rolls round, if, you know, there's a one or two...
There's a few.
...unheralded signings. Interesting. All right. Now, I did mention, before we get on to the first of the two sets of fixtures that are going to be coming up before we next do an FPL pod, Just wanted to talk about wildcards because there are people like you, Sam, who never use their wildcard, and it's now almost become something you have to do without needing. You've got this one that you've got to use. Game week 20 is your last option to do it at the end of December. And then there's also the question of when to use the second wildcard, which some people will be tempted to do as soon as January hits because thank goodness it's arrived. And I always assumed it was better to leave it for the later stages of the season when you got double game weeks, etc. But you've got some surprising news on that front.
Yeah, so when I didn't use my wildcard in the international breaks that were coming up, I kind of then did a bit of statistical looking at when's a good option for playing wildcards.
Right.
And strangely, with the second wildcard, it's actually statistically better to play it in January, early January, when it first becomes active. The players that played it there last season did better across the latter part of the season than the players who held it for the double game weeks. So in my mind, my strategy has now become that I was going to hold my original wildcard as late as possible and hope it acted like an early January wild card.
But if you splurged your first wild card early doors, you actually say that it statistically it proves better to play it early.
Yeah, the players that activated their wild cards in January did better than those that
Can you think of any reason why that is?
I think partly it's to do with the January transfer window, players coming in, getting on them early, that sort of thing. But I also think that towards the back end of the season, when the double game weeks tend to come out, which is where the majority of us play the wild card, there's more of a risk of rotation from the end of the season squads and that sort of thing. It seems to be the case that actually playing it early will give you some sort of advantage.
Tom, have you played your first wild card?
I have played my first wild card,
Are you tempted to do your second wild card as soon as January comes around?
My intention is to hold off, and I think I probably am going to wait to see what the double game weeks look like. But I agree with Sam's point completely. I think you can obsess about double game weeks, and knowing that they're coming up, you think, that's when I'm going to either catch up on the guys who are at the top of my mini league, or I'm going to increase my lead. But actually, when those game weeks come round, having two games so close together means that managers almost always rotate.
Right.
And certainly the last few seasons, I know that I've come to double game weeks and maybe I played one of my chips or I played my wild card
and thought, here we go,
250 points, watch me disappear, you know, into the stratosphere. And actually you end up with unpredictable results, with unpredictable team selections. So you have to be careful about structuring your season around those double game weeks.
Sage stuff from the filling in our Tom sandwich. And let's then get on to the first of the two game weeks that await us. Game week 18, everybody. Only 9 fixtures because Liverpool and West Ham are off games. What are you picking out, Sam Parkin?
Game-wise?
Yes.
I am going to go for Brighton, Sheffield United.
All right.
I think it's a really tough week, first and foremost, without Liverpool playing and Tottenham playing Chelsea and obviously Leicester going to Manchester City. So I think you're going to have to look for value in some of the teams, some of the fixtures maybe that you'd maybe overlook in the past. So I like both these teams. Sheffield United unbeaten away all season. Brighton excellent in the last 3 games. It says to me it'd be a nice open game of football. I would suggest maybe not going too heavy on defenders.
Yes.
Lundstrom apart. I think he stays in because of his assist and goal threat, which he's started to provide again the last few weeks. Brighton, I was at Palace on Monday. I thought they were exceptional. Just that final little bit in the final third lacking. But I think Mopai is a no-brainer considering his form currently. Scored in the last 3. He's hard to ignore when you think the Liverpool players aren't going to be available and you're not going to get that guaranteed points return probably from the likes of Vardy, Abraham, Sterling, maybe even the Tottenham boys as well. So I think there's real value in going for Mopai this week.
Neil Mopai, who will only cost you 5.8 million. So do the rest of you reckon this is going to be quite a tough weekend to find points in?
Yeah, I think particularly it's really hard for a captain's armband this week because the fixtures themselves are tough. Obviously, we don't have Liverpool, and that fixture against West Ham would have been the go-to captain choice for this week. So it is definitely a tough one. It's going to throw Christmas in the mix a little bit, I think.
Mm. Sean, for example, asking whether captaining Jimenez is a good move this weekend. Wolves away at Norwich.
Well, he's returned in 6 of his last 7 games, so he's in a decent bit of form. And Norwich at home tend to let in quite a lot of goals. 20 goals they've conceded at Carrow Road this season. Only Southampton, who've let in 24, nine of which were in that one game against Leicester, have done worse. So I would have thought that Wolves will score goals. They were unlucky last weekend against Spurs, played very well, ended up losing in stoppage time. If you're looking for a captain who's going to be different to people's other captain picks, I think Jimenez is a decent shout.
Right, and a lot of people will be looking for somewhere to put the armband this weekend because Jamie Vardy, who's been the default choice, is in a tough-looking game away at Manchester City with Leicester. He's got the most Premier League goals this season. He's going to be facing, rotation permitting, the player with the most assists this season. Kevin De Bruyne has also been scoring a lot of late. What are your thoughts tactically? I mean, loads of us have got Vardy, loads of us have got De Bruyne or Sterling. How do we approach a game like Man City and Leicester?
It's a tricky one because, as you say, a lot of people will have players from both sides. I've got three Leicester players in Soyuncu, Maddison and Vardy. I'm probably going to have two City players in De Bruyne and possibly Sterling I'm going to bring in. You usually back City to score goals at home. They showed a good bit of form at Arsenal last weekend. Kevin De Bruyne, 19-point haul, looking at his absolute best. Still quite attractively priced compared to some of the other big-hitting midfielders. Raheem Sterling has scored three goals in his last two games in all competitions, got one at Arsenal, got a couple of midweek in the League Cup, and looks like he's maybe coming back into form after quite a long period where he wasn't really scoring many points and during which I think quite a lot of fantasy managers got rid of him. Having said all that, City have not been imperious at home this season. Three home games since their last kept a clean sheet at the Etihad. Obviously lost at home to Man United in their last home game. Leicester caused City problems at the Etihad last season. Needed that incredible Vincent Kompany goal to get City over the line in that game. Leicester dropped points last weekend at Norwich, but they're a team who create a lot of chances. I think the way that they went about that game last season will be similar to the way they go about this weekend's game. So I can see Leicester's attacking players returning. Where, you know, we know that City leaves space in behind, which is, you know, the sort of thing that makes Jamie Vardy's eyes light up. I can see there being goals for both sides.
Right. Sam, what are you doing with your assets?
I am going to play them. I have Soyuncu and I have Vardy and I have KDB. So I only have three.
Right.
I feel like that's enough from that game because you just can't work out where that's going to go. The only one that kind of might take a seat out for me is Soyuncu. I might bench him because I do think City will score in that game. So I might just play with my attacking players instead. I kind of feel that might be the way to go.
Right. And Sam, you'll be doing the contrary. You'll be buying in Soyuncu, captaining him.
I've got the same three as Sam. I just don't think you can look beyond Kevin De Bruyne at this moment, especially if he's going to be playing a slightly different position.
Close. Are you expecting a lot of rotation from Pep, given that we will have another set of fixtures coming up on the Thursday?
No, I don't think so, given the magnitude of the game. And he was able to rest a number of players at Oxford, whereas Leicester didn't have that luxury to the same degree. He went pretty strong, Brendan Rodgers. So I just think Kevin De Bruyne playing closer to the central striker is the most important pick from both those two sides this weekend.
And also City have got an extra day to recover for their Boxing Day fixture because they're actually playing on the 27th.
Are they?
Away at Wolves.
Right.
Tricky fixture, but that may play a part in rotation. I agree with Sam. I think that if Guardiola is going to rotate, I don't think it will be for this Leicester game. I think it's more likely to be for that Wolves game.
Gotcha. Okay. Quick word on Everton-Arsenal, because Arsenal, with a raft of injuries and already shaky defensive record, a lot of people are looking appreciatively at Richarlison. Is that a wise thing to be doing, do you think, Sam?
Yeah, he's one of the most transferred in players this week. Mm. I don't necessarily buy into the Richarlison bandwagon that's building at the moment. I think he could be a great pick, but Everton is still kind of a bit up in the air in the managerial stakes with Duncan Ferguson still kind of sitting in, so we're not entirely sure what's happening there yet. I do think Richarlison offers some good value, but for me, he's a bit of a hit and miss player. Either he's brilliant and he returns really well, which he could do against a very injury hit Arsenal defence,
right,
or he'll do nothing.
He has been probably the most consistent we've seen him, I think, ever in the Premier League. In the last six game weeks, he's returned in four of them. So, I mean, the point you make that there could be a managerial change, likely to be a managerial change imminently there, does call into doubt whether his role is going to change or whatever. Sam, what's your view?
I just noticed he's got four yellow cards, so...
One away from suspension.
On a bit of a tightrope, and he seems to be that type of player, I think. So
for
it
sure.
will take a... I'm sure Duncan Ferguson could have a strong word with him, but a new manager coming in and just telling him to watch his discipline. But he's a certain starter. He's down as a midfield player, and he's playing as part of a front two with Dominic Calvert-Lewin. So I think he's a really good shout for the next couple of weeks. And at home against Arsenal, I'd expect him to cause problems.
Let's talk about a team who've already changed their manager, Spurs. Jose Mourinho, who, oh my word, is taking on his former side, Chelsea, this weekend. Jose Mourinho's got an exceptional record when welcoming his former clubs to his new ones. And I think a lot of people have Spurs down here as heavy favourites. I'm guessing you might be one of them.
Well,
Sam.
I certainly hope so, yeah. I think it's really interesting, actually, when you look... Spurs-Chelsea fixtures are normally quite high-scoring anyway.
Right.
Add Mourinho into the mix, and I think it probably will be, particularly as neither of these two sides are particularly good defensively at the moment.
Mm.
So I would be expecting the midfielders and the strikers to do well in this game. Since Mourinho arrived, actually, Spurs have scored the most goals in the Premier League. They're tied with Liverpool with 14,
wow.
Which is... quite frankly, amazing when you think about where they were prior to Mourinho's arrival. They have also had the most shots on target. Their shot on target ratio is the best in the league. So it's really interesting to see the change in the Spurs. You can see Mourinho playing through his kind of key players, which at Spurs are the attacking ones. Interestingly, when you compare Spurs and Chelsea have had 88 attempts in the same period of time since Mourinho arrived to Tottenham's 59. So Chelsea are getting more options and more opportunities to score goals. They're just not taking them as many as Spurs are.
Right. How many Chelsea players have we all got at the moment? A lot of people tripled up on them.
I've got Abraham and Mount, and the latter's a bit of a problem for me, I think, going
right.
into this game, unless he's going to play higher up the pitch. Mason Mount, I think he may get left out for this weekend.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with Sam. I think Spurs heavy favourites for this, and the front players at the moment, you need to get one of them in.
Because Chelsea's fixtures and their form had made them such an attractive prospect. I've got Tomori, Pulisic and Abraham.
Yeah, I had Tomori and Abraham. I've since got rid of them both.
Wow.
Just because Chelsea's form has fallen off a cliff. I mean, four defeats in the last five, lost at home to Bournemouth last time out. They've clearly hit a bit of a rut. But interesting, the stat that Sam picks out about the amount of chances they're creating. When you watch Chelsea, they should be scoring more goals than they are. And you tend to think when the underlying stats show that, at some point they'll turn a corner. Having said that, I'm not sure that's going to happen this weekend. I've got Song Heung-min from Spurs contemplating doubling up on Spurs midfielders by also bringing Dele Alli in. They've won four of their last five, so completely contrasting form to Chelsea. So I suspect Chelsea's luck will turn at some point, given the amount of chances they're creating. But yeah, I'd be going in on Spurs this weekend.
Right,
I think.
Spurs, who actually have really attractive fixtures coming up as well. Some of the best in the next kind of six game weeks or so that are available. Quick question from Umang, who tweets in, is Pulisic going to be playing this week? Lampard talked about rotating his midfield.
Yeah, Lampard was very clear that rotation was kind of imminent with Chelsea, and I think they look like they need it, to be honest. They look really tired in the last couple of games. Now, Pulisic has had five blanks in a row now, and I think when everybody, like yourself, James, got on him, he was in that beautiful run and everything was going right. But if you look back at his record against Dortmund, when he was playing for Dortmund, he actually never scored more than four goals in a season for them, and he's already got that now at Chelsea. So was that just a little purple patch? Will we see a bit more consistency? I don't know, but I do think he's at risk of rotation this week.
Blimey, Sam, that's a bit vexing. All right, then. Plenty of food for thought there, and more on the way as after this, we do the long view. Long view, everybody. Mentioned the fact that Spurs got good fixtures on the way, but this week we're specifically going to focus on game week 19, which is the Boxing Day matches, or which are rather the Boxing Day matches, and pull out one or two of those that you might want to factor into whatever you're doing this weekend. Leicester, for example, what on earth do we do with Jamie Vardy and any other assets we might have for their Boxing Day clash with Liverpool? And what will we have done in the meantime with Salah or Mane or Trent or any other of the Liverpool stars?
Well, I think when it comes to Vardy, he is absolutely the Leicester talisman. You just play him every week. He's going to score goals. Leicester, look, at the end of the day, they're in a title race. They need to win those games. They will go all out to win them. And if they do, Jamie Vardy is going to be part of the score sheet. When it comes to Liverpool, they're a bit more interesting because obviously with game week 18 blank for them, there's a lot of Liverpool out rhetoric going on at the moment and a lot of good, more high percentages of transfers out for people like Mane and Trent. Now, my one kind of issue, not so much with Mane because it depends when you bought him. If you bought him at the beginning of the season and you've got a lot of value in him, it's going to be hard to buy him back if you sell him now.
If you sell him, you won't be able to afford him back. And why is that?
So you don't necessarily gain the entire price rises that they take. You just gain some of them. So they've got to go up by a couple before you gain that value. So if you had him from the start of the season, he's now gone up well over a million. You won't get all of that in team value. And so selling him might be an issue in terms of if you want to bring him back.
I see. In terms of what we're expecting on the field, so Vardy, yay. Liverpool players against a canny-looking Leicester side set up to defend and then hit on the break. What do you think, Sam?
I think it's going to be really interesting because I'm going to just get two high-priced midfield players in this week to replace Mane and Salah. Will I put them straight back in? Maybe with that game on the horizon. No, I'm thinking about two of the Tottenham players to come in who have got nice looking fixtures and maybe just holding back before sticking the Liverpool boys straight back in.
I see. Tom?
Yeah, similar. I mean, I'm going to park Trent Alexander-Arnold on my bench this weekend and then I will sub out Sadio Mane for, as Sam said, a high value midfielder.
You can have anyone you want.
Yeah, which is actually a little bit daunting sometimes when you've only got like 7.2 million to work with. You have to really sort of think, and it actually brings a bit of clarity to your decisions. Whereas when you can have literally anyone,
right,
you can kind of panic yourself.
Who should Tom get in, Sam and Tam?
I think Sterling as well is.
Have you got Sterling, Tom?
Sterling. No, I don't. Basically, I'm kind of between Sterling and Dele Alli.
Just to throw a caveat on the Sterling thing. Sterling's much better away from home this season. So 8 of his 10 goals have come away. Out of his 17 big chances, 14 of them have come away. Ooh. So he's got home fixture next. So maybe I'd probably go with Son. I'm looking at Martial for this week against Watford.
Martial, who is unbelievably still under 10% ownership. So if you're pulling a Sam Parkin, that's one to consider. All right, then. Another option, Sam, would be to go for someone like Jack Grealish and, you know, bank that money for other improvements elsewhere in your side. You're hot for Grealish right now.
I think they've been really unfortunate in terms
Villa.
Of the points tally at the moment. And he's banging form. Missed the penalty, obviously, at Sheffield United last time out. But really, time to think about him again at just 6.1 million. 25 points in his last three appearances at Villa Park. And with Southampton and then Norwich.
Norwich on Boxing Day.
I mean, two.
And then after that, Watford.
Yeah, incredible fixtures. Then away to Burnley. If they're going to get their season up and running, I think John McGinn as well, worth considering, even though his points return hasn't been anywhere as near productive as it was in the opening weeks of the season. Definitely Grealish. And one to keep an eye on as well, Wesley, they've persevered with him up front. Kodja came in at the week during the week and got himself two, arguably three goals in that game against Liverpool's kids. He may get a run in the team as the focal point of their team. I think he's available 5.4 million. And when he came in last year for Tammy Abraham, he did really well. Kodja, I'm not saying it's a definitive one you need to get in, but if you're looking for one cheap striker and he gets a run, he may be worth thinking about.
McGinn, by the way, in the last 10 game weeks has had one assist.
I think that will change with the four games that are coming up. I mean,
really?
He is integral to their chances of staying in the division. Like I said, he's got the most shots at Villa Park for the team. Grealish in second. I think those two are going to come to the fore in the next couple of home games at least.
I see. That was the long view. Next up, your responses to this week's question from FPL Pod on Twitter, which was, which teams are you doubling or tripling up on and why? Yes, listener, which team are you doubling or tripling up on? And you here in the studio, Sam, who are you doubling and tripling up on?
Well, I've been hot on Crystal Palace for the last few weeks.
Have you?
Caught them in this brilliant defensive run of form they've had, but the crisis is just something else at the moment. They haven't got a left back. We saw it on Monday with MacArthur playing there in the second half. So I'm a little bit concerned that the luck may run out at St James's Park. But that said, they've got good experienced guys to come in. Right. Roy Hodgson, tactically incredible. I'm still backing Guaita and Kelly are the two that I've had.
Right.
I think Tompkins is good value, 24 points in the last four games, worth considering, and Zaha coming to the fore now as well. So I think in defence, they're still a pretty safe bet with the fixtures on the horizon. West Ham, Southampton and Norwich, the next three after Saturday. And Zaha is the go-to man again at the moment. So I'm sticking to my guns, really, with the Palace guys.
All right. Well, good for you. Mohammed says, I'm tripping on Spurs assets because of their upcoming fixtures. We talked about how nice they look. I'm sure you concur there, Sam. If you had to say three Spurs players to go on?
So I think Dele and Son are the obvious two. And then right. it's picking someone to go with them, depending on your budget.
Yep.
One of the defenders looks quite good in that run. Maybe Aurier or Vertonghen.
Right.
Or even Lucas Moura, who I think could be a great shout.
Yeah, he seems to be the kind of unheralded goal threat.
Yeah, three goals in his four starts under Mourinho in the Premier League.
Do you have him?
I don't.
Are you getting him?
I would like to. My concern is that Eric Lamella is due back at any moment. And Mourinho's spoken about how he's very excited to have Lamella back in the mix. So might be a bit rotation risk.
CLH very much agreeing with you, Sam Parkins, and Gaeta between the sticks, Kelly in the mix. Very nicely done. Cal has Madison and Vardy of Leicester and Duncan Mopay out of Brighton, which are great shouts. His Yam says, doubling up on Leicester because City have not got many clean sheets, and Wolves, well, because it's Norwich. That seems fair, Tom. Who have you got on your side?
Well, I'm tripling up on Leicester as things stand, but I think I might follow Sam B by dropping Soyuncu to my bench for the trip to the Etihad. And I am thinking of doubling up on Spurs midfielders. I've already got Son Heung-min, and I think Dele Alli probably makes a lot of sense as a replacement for Sadio Mane.
Right. Dele Alli, who's got a terrific record against Chelsea, Sam.
He has indeed. Six goals in the Premier League.
And he's been looking really good of late, hasn't he?
He has indeed, yeah. He's got attacking returns in four of the last five games.
Brilliant. Excellent. If you'd like to send us a question, hashtag FPLpod is the way to tweet it. After this, we're going to dig out some essential differential. Differentials, players with less than 10% ownership who are going to fire up some fat points for our fancy teams this weekend. I know it's going to happen. For you, Tom, when you bring in, what sneaky little move have you got?
I mean, a surprising differential here, given the team that he plays for. But Johnny Evans is owned by only 5.6% of managers. And yet he's Leicester's second top-scoring defender. And he started every single game that they've played this season. You look at Leicester's other defenders, everyone knows about Ricardo Pereira's attacking threat and his returns, assists and goals. He's only scored eight more points than Johnny Evans.
Is he a lot more expensive?
He's significantly more expensive. Ricardo Pereira is 6.5 million at the moment. Johnny Evans is only 5.2. Ben Chilwell, who's 5.8, has scored nine fewer points than Johnny Evans.
Right.
So I suppose he doesn't have the appeal of a buccaneering fullback like Ricardo Pereira or Ben Chilwell. He's also not as cheap as Soyuncu was when people started first bringing him into their teams. But if you haven't yet got a Leicester defender, you could do a lot worse than go for Evans. And as Sam P was saying earlier, at a time when you do need to start thinking about differentials more because everyone's teams tend to resemble each other to such a high extent, it is worth looking at moves like that.
If it weren't for the fact they were about to face Manchester City and then Liverpool, I would really agree with you. But,
yeah,
you know, sometimes you just have to pull a maverick move, you know, and just let the dice fall where they may. Isn't that right, Sam? Bombfield.
Yeah. So I'm going to pick out Martial this week. Manchester United travelling to Watford, who have been in terrible form, to put it kindly. But they did show some new manager bounce against Liverpool. So maybe I'm being a bit unkind on them. But Martial missed six games this season so far. So his stats are a bit skewed when you look at him in comparison to other players of the same price point. But actually, in the 10 starts that he has made in the Premier League, he's returned in six of them. And when you think that those returns came at a time where Manchester United were not playing very well, did do really well in that game against Manchester City a couple of game weeks ago. I think he could be a really nice pick this week. He and Rashford seem to have a really nice relationship going.
How much does the rise of Mason Greenwood trouble you, though?
It does a little bit because, you know, Solskjaer has come out this week and said it's becoming increasingly difficult to leave Greenwood out. But I do think that Martial, I think he'll probably start this game. I can't imagine that he won't.
4.3 million, by the way, Mason Greenwood. 4.3 million. But he's not ranked as a midfielder like Martial is.
No.
So there's that. Sam Parkin, a differential from you?
Oh, very tempted by Lucas Moura after Sam.
Are you?
Very
much
so.
Is he a differential still?
He is. He is. And he's going to play. That's the thing at the moment.
Is he?
Early part of the season, Pochettino was still obviously giving minutes to Lamella, and Eriksen was getting regular game time. Well, he loves Moura in that position, that nice relationship with Aurier, bombing up the right-hand side. He's going to play. I think he's a good shout.
All right, well, after this, we'll have a look at which moves you're planning to make for this weekend and Boxing Day, and also who gets to wear the armband. All right, Sam, what are you going to unleash on the unsuspecting world of Fantasy Premier League this weekend?
Well, I kind of feel like it's a bit of a punt for me this week, just based upon game week 18, because I have my wild card to play for game week 19, so I can kind of literally go wherever I like with it. It'll either be, well, it's going to definitely be Mane out, but it will either be for a bit of a risky move and go for Martial, or I'll play it really safe and double up by bringing in Son to play alongside Dele Alli in my midfield.
So if you went for Martial, you'd have a chunk of change. Would you bank that or would you upgrade elsewhere in your team?
So I've also done another transfer already this week. Ooh. So I've already swapped Tomori out for Kelly. So I've done two. They were both frees. I had two in the bank and there was no point in keeping one because I'm playing a wild card next week, so I'd have lost it. But I'll bank the change from the Mane move and then use it to bring in Salah for game week 19.
Right. And your wild card, is it actually going to be on Boxing Day?
Yes. So I'll play it Saturday afternoon and then have it to tinker with over Christmas Day and Boxing Day.
God, that's brilliant, isn't it? They should. The FPL should do a Christmas wild card.
Feels like a nice present.
That would be amazing. Come on, FPL. anyway, all right. Well, I mean, anything, just really briefly, are there like three key players that are your must-haves for your wild card team?
So Salah is one of them for me. The other ones...
Salah above Mane?
Yes, I feel like Salah's about to become the one again.
Right, and Sam, you agree with that, don't you? I mean, you said before that he's been the guy who's been powering your resurgence up the rankings.
He very much is the one for me. He's shot me right up the table the last 2 weeks, yeah.
Okay, so we got Salah in there for your wildcard team. Who else?
Kevin De Bruyne will be staying.
Right.
And then... Can I have two others? I think a double Spurs will be on the cards with Dele.
Who will you have in goal?
Oh, well, so that's a good question because I'm going to keep Henderson.
Finally.
But if I can find some extra money, I might upgrade Heaton to Gaeta.
Okay, right. Interesting. Sam, you're not playing a wild card this weekend.
No, I think it's going to be a really tough week. Low scoring.
Yep.
Early part of this week, I was tempted to go free hit, but ridiculous. I'm just going to get my two Liverpool players out, Salah and Mane.
Sell them.
No, I'm going to replace them with... three players I've got in mind: Son, Ali, and Sterling.
Okay,
so that's I'm going to do the two straight swaps for two high scoring, hopefully high price midfielders who can fill the void while those two are away sunning themselves.
It all sounds like it makes a lot of sense. Who gets the captain's armband for you, Sam?
Head De Bruyne, heart going in keeping with what I've done the last few weeks. Neil Mopai to upset the odds.
Do it!
Wow,
do
that is so brave.
Yeah.
Got to keep, you know, if it's not broke, the last couple of weeks been phenomenal. I've got to keep going.
Brilliant. Tom?
While I'm sitting here in the studio, I have literally just taken the armband from the bicep of Kevin De Bruyne, ripped it off him and handed it over to Son Heung-min. Because I just think that Man City-Leicester game is so hard to call. As good as De Bruyne's form is, Spurs are on such a good run. So, yeah, looking like I'm going to give it to Son.
For the clash with Chelsea, bold. And Sam?
Mine's on Dele Alli at the moment. But if Son comes in, it will, like Tom, it will go to Son.
And you're doing a wild card this weekend, but you're not bringing Harry Kane back in it?
Well, yeah. If I can afford him, I will.
Right. I see. Long-time listeners may know that Sam and Harry have a bit of a thing going on.
Oh, I wish we did, but yeah.
Alrighty. Whatever you are doing with your fancy team, listener, best of luck. And make sure you get it in by 11:30 UK time on Saturday morning. And actually, why not do it straight away now? Because with all the pre-Christmas rush coming up, it could get lost in the mix. You don't want that. So anyway, that's the deadline for Game Week 18, 11:30 this Saturday morning. And then Boxing Day. Wow, this one is easy to miss. Thursday, 11:30 Thursday morning, Boxing Day morning, 11:30 UK time. That's the deadline. Put an alarm or do something. Or do it straight after the kickoff on this Saturday. Yeah, I mean, that's maybe a bit premature. But anyway, get it done whenever you can. And please don't forget, we will return a day later than usual next week because of the Christmas fixture thing. If you'd like some more FPL content like the FPL show and FPL FYI in the meantime, then head over to PremierLeague.com. For now, it's many thanks to Sam and to Sam and to Tom and you, listener. Best of luck for Game Weeks 18 and 19. Have a happy Christmas and we'll catch up with you just before the new year.